Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello, I'm Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysenica Freedom microchip. Since SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip, I jumped on the Lysenica joint.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart, an employee with inserted in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysenica track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysenica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
conservatives' beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores. It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireta. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Tuesday, so we'll have Bridget joining us here in just a second. And if you have anything out there in Radio Land for us, you can give us a call. The number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So with that, let's go ahead and bring Bridget in here. Bridget, welcome in.
Hi there.
There you are. I thought maybe I didn't bring you in all of a sudden. Okay. Hello. Nice to have you again.
Yeah, it's great to be on.
So you didn't realize that I play a song before I go on, I suppose. But
no,
that's fine.
I didn't get you to play a song.
It was just long?
For some reason. No, I just thought the music was different for some reason.
Oh. Well, I always play something that I've created first before I go on. So everything you hear during the first few minutes is something off one of my albums.
Oh, okay.
So I try to make it sound different. I hope it was all right. I don't want to bore our audience.
I just didn't think it had that instrumental.
Oh.
I mean, it normally doesn't have words, so that ain't.
Yeah, most of my stuff doesn't have words. Some of it does, but not often. If I'm sometimes I create words, and that I don't like what I created, so therefore it ends up having no words. I've done that before plenty of times.
So then it goes on the cutting board, huh?
No, it goes cutting in the floor. Instrumental pile.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So what have you been working on? Anything exciting that you've done since we last talked?
Oh, no. I'm trying to get my doctors here to kind of reevaluate my upper thigh or something. I got one of the doctors to diagnose, and well, he can't diagnose it technically, but he's saying that the pain that I'm experiencing, that it might be a hernia. It's not related to my hip surgery. So that's getting a little annoying.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I've got some doctors trying to say, you know, like, I need to relax, it's too early, you know, I just had surgery, but I'm not convinced that's the case, because it's literally isolated, and it's the same place, same everything since I went into surgery, which was my determined factor to have this surgery. So the fact that it's not like, the outer or the actual hip where they actually cut me, like, none of that hurts. It's like, why does it hurt there?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But they won't do like a CT or an ultrasound or any of that kind of stuff, which I'm going to be really upset if it turns out to be a hernia, because if the pain is this intense, almost to the point where I can't walk, that means I need surgery. Again. I mean, you know, different reason, but if my hip replacement probably could have held out a little bit. I didn't have to rush and get it. Yeah, I had a total hip replacement, and it was, I guess there's two kinds. I guess you can get it, like, through the back, and some people get it in the thigh or something. And mine was in the back, which tends to be more intense.
Okay.
But that area doesn't hurt. It's, like, perfectly fine. It's just, like, right in the inner thigh. Almost groin, kind of there. And it's been hurting since, like, day one. Well, technically years prior, but, you know, eventually they had thought it was because I was falling to bone. But I'm starting to think it isn't. And neither is just one doctor who saw me the other day. But like I said, he's like a neuro. He puts Botox in my right leg, you know, for my, you know, if I have spasticity. So He's like, you got to get these doctors to bug you because I think it's something else. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
That's just all I need is
something else to get me down. Although I don't know the recovery for hernias, but nonetheless, it's not something I'm looking forward to.
Oh, I can imagine that. On my end, I'm starting to heal pretty quick here. So I remember when I was in the hospital almost 2 months ago, they told me there was a 99% chance I was getting amputated. And last week they told me it would be 4 to 6 weeks before, or no, I'm sorry, they told me it would be by the end of June I'll be completely healed. And now that's changed again to 4 to 6 weeks I'll be 100% or close to.
Oh, wow. Well, that's amazing. That's awesome.
So what I'm doing is working.
That's good. That's good.
Because, yeah, I was not in a good spot.
We got to stay healthy.
You said how to stay healthy?
No, I said we have to stay healthy. I mean, we have to stay healthy,
yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah, I was listening to, I don't listen to podcasts too much because they're so super long, you know. It's like, but every once in a while if I'm just kind of bored, I tend to listen to one. But there was a doctor, I don't remember his name because I'm sure it's something difficult that I can't pronounce, but he's a cardiologist, and he was just saying that he's been having heart surgeries for, you know, some 30-plus years and doesn't understand why certain people tend to have heart problems or whatnot. But at the end of the reason why I brought this up, I was talking about healthy. He was just mentioning that he believes that a lot of these health issues that rise, you know, people who have arthritis, people, you know, obviously who need open heart surgery, you know, he's starting to think a lot of it is, and well, obviously it's diet, but he thinks a lot of it is the oils that's processed in all these foods. So that's very interesting.
I would buy into the fact that soybean oil is a killer.
Yeah, soybean, sunflower, you know, all those feed ones, vegetable oil. I mean, there's literally no vegetable in it. Not sure why they call it vegetable oil. Or is vegetable oil and corn the same, or do they differ those two?
Well, I was going to say I don't know if soybean oil and vegetable oil are the same, because I think those are close to the same.
Okay. Soybean and vegetable?
Yeah, I think anything with soy is 97% of the world's soy is genetically modified. So, and high fructose corn syrup is probably the worst thing you can put in your body. I think that oil, soybean oil, would be right there, maybe number two or three, behind aspartame or in front of aspartame. I think those are close.
Yeah, I agree, which is sad because, I mean, you know, when I started paying attention to reading labels, I mean, it's in everything. Of course, there's only, I mean, from what I aware, there's only very few products that, you know, put coconut oil or avocado or olive oil. So, you know, once you know which ones they are, it's pretty much easy as far as what to eat. But
well, Five Guys
cooks
their French fries
how long have they been poisoning
oil,
us?
So that's a step up.
What's that?
Five Guys cooks their French fries in peanut oil. That's a step up.
This is true. I haven't been there a while, but I enjoy the peanuts that they have that you can grab a handful.
What is this thing stuck
in
the back of the door?
Hold on, my phone is calling me here.
None. All right,
yeah,
so this moment of silence is brought to you by Bridget. Go ahead.
I'm back. My son just had a quick question, but he seems to have run off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he ran off. Probably wants to enjoy his new car that he received. Or he bought, I should say. But I hope he's not driving. I hope he's not driving from Milwaukee, because, which I don't mind, but it's like a 40-minute drive there and back, and he just got home from work. It's like, what? Why are you leaving again? At least stay in town. I mean, gas is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's about to go back up, so.
That's what I heard. How can it possibly go up? I thought it would just kind of.
What do you mean?
It would stay at a free. It would stay at a freeze because the holidays kicked in with spring break and everything.
Oh, no.
No,
because Saudi Arabia told Brandon that they're going to not halt, but they're going to slow down oil production to the United States. And the whole country or the whole world is mocking us because we have the world's largest oil reserves, and Brandon refuses to let them flow, so therefore we're finna get ripped off.
Well, that's nuts. Just in time for summer, huh?
Yeah.
How much is unleaded by you?
I would say in the neighborhood of about 410 to 420.
Okay. Well, you're not too far ahead. I mean, we're at, I believe, 369. Although I didn't pay attention to it today, so who's to say what it possibly might be?
Well, but you got liberals that think that the price of gas is not his fault. It's Russia's fault. Only a liberal can say that we're stopping oil production in the United States and then blame everybody else for the high gas prices.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
There's
some decent ones
out
there. Yeah, I mean, there's not much to do. You know, I can't foresee people just all of a sudden taking bikes to work. You know, I mean, not many people do that, especially if you have a long commute.
So I listened to the end of Sean Hannity today, and they had a liberal caller on there I thought was hilarious. And he was one of those, of course, that says Trump is going to prison for 136 years for all the crimes he committed. And the guy, when Hannity said, what crimes did he commit? And the guy said, you should learn how to read a newspaper. They're all there. And if you don't know what crimes he committed, then you should Google it. But he couldn't name a crime that Trump committed. And then when he asked, name three reasons why you're going to vote for Brandon, and he said, well, the unemployment is the lowest in a long time. He balanced the budget. The gas prices are low, and inflation is low. Unlike when Trump was president and the inflation was high.
This woman, I think I mentioned her last time because she's just, I knew I shouldn't have said anything because I know she kind of struck me as a person that probably doesn't like Trump, you know. But anyways, I had told her, I guess we had ended up talking about politics, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm done with Trump and yada, yada, yada. Well, so the conversation didn't go very well last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, when she found out that I'm a Trump supporter. So she wanted to kind of almost have a confrontation today, or not today, but Tuesday? Oh, Monday. So that was yesterday. Bluntly comes out of, like, nowhere. So are you voting for Trump again this year? I'm like, I was like, I don't know who I'm voting. Like, I have to see who's, you know, who's all in the running. Well, you voted for Trump last time. Wouldn't you vote for him again? And I mean, really angry. And I was like, I liked him before. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm all poodles over him. You know what I mean? Because I just didn't want to be like, yeah, it's Trump. Yeah, of course. Under no circumstance. You know, I'm not one of those people. It's like, hey, you know, we got to see, you know, what everybody's running for, if it even matters today. But so anyways, but yeah, she was just, and then just asking me again, like, what? He didn't do anything. Like, he's racist. And then that was the end of it. I was like, I can't anymore. Because that's the thing, you know, I've come across a lot of people when they're just, you try to ask them again, you know, why did they vote for Biden, you know, whatever. And they're just like, because he's the better person, because he's not racist. I mean, it always comes out to racism.
He's not racist.
No, no,
you mean
Brandon.
The guy that drops N-bombs on particular people who are black, and
yeah,
and actually was friends with Robert KKK Byrd, who was the head of the KKK, and he's the one that started Stop and Frisk in 1992. That not racist, Biden?
Yeah. But I try to inform her, you know, I'm like, if you listen to the media, or I know she's probably going to ask. I see her like every Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at the YMCA when I do my swim aerobics. But I won't be shockingly surprised now, because if she asks me again, because she wanted to get into this conversation, she's a black woman, but there's a lot of other black women that are there. And there was one lady that I was speaking with who, you know, also a black woman, we were all in the pool. And again, when the woman's just like, yeah, what did he do? Great. I don't understand. You know, he's racist. He wants to close the border. And I appreciate that the other woman that was with, you know, we were conversating, you know, she's like, yeah, he's did a lot of good things. I was like, yes. Because she's obviously a black woman, and she didn't continue my conversation because she got upset. Because every black person should hate Trump, or at least not have anything good to say about him, I should say. But yeah, that's.
But I don't know
college,
what's more pandering though than hiring people just specifically because they fit a demographic. Like Karine Jean-Pierre, she got the job because she's black, lesbian, and a foreign immigrant. And she'll tell you that. She has no problem telling you the three qualifications she got to get that job.
Who's the one that they're trying to take out?
What do you mean?
I don't know. There was somebody. Is somebody in the Supreme Court they're trying to remove? No?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, and I'm not sure who she was referring to, because I just, like I said, I didn't even want to engage in her conversation. So the minute she just kept speaking, I was like, this is never going to go anywhere. She just wants to be, I mean, which I don't mind having a debatable conversation, but again, when nobody wants to hear anything, and it still goes back to, you know, he wanted to close up the border, or, you know, he's just a racist. Look how he speaks to everybody. Or, I mean, she didn't even,
you know,
say, like, oh,
he's conversation, ask her what a woman is.
Oh. Yeah.
She'll tell you she doesn't know. Then you could say, I can't have a conversation with people that don't know what a woman is.
That's true. I'm not sure if she's that far into that view, which then that's where people get a little on the, you know, on the fence. Oh, I think that's how the other lady, I think it was abortion. I think that's what brought it up. I think it was abortion. And then I was like, no, I believe every woman has a right to do that. There was somebody in office apparently who, I believe it was, they were against abortions or something. I don't remember. But anyway, but in any case, you know, And then I was just telling her, I'm like, look what, you know, what they're trying to do. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, from woman to woman, that should not be a right that's taken away from us. But apparently it is. Speaking of rights, did you hear about that article in Maryland about parents are not able to opt out in curricular materials?
Yeah, let me pull that up because I had that ready to go here. I'm gonna just say this in passing. We don't have to spend time on it. Before I get into that, Brandon signed off on ending the COVID-19 emergency.
Oh.
So as of now, there's no COVID emergency. Anybody that wears a scam is doing it because they want to now.
You know, that's very interesting because my friend just went to court last week. She was picked to be one of the jurors. Obviously, was still going through screening. There was a lot of screening going on. Well, meanwhile, she was kind of happy because when she got into the courthouse, she didn't have to wear a mask. So she's like, oh, this is cool. This is cool. All right, things are changing. We don't always know where you can and where you can't. Oh, but the minute you got into the courtroom, oh, you had to put your mask on.
Hmm.
You know, which kind of reminded me, some time ago, I don't know, probably when this all started, when media people, some of them had, when they were just recording everything. And when you kind of knew, again, yeah, it's kind of a scam, and just how much priority they put on how important it was to wear a mask. But when everybody is being videotaped, obviously they know they're on the air, oh, yeah, it's definitely masks off. And the minute they must say, hey, cut, we're done, or we're not recording, or whatever they must do, they immediately take their masks off. Their excuse, I think at one time when I saw something, was like, well, yeah, we're on break. So you're on break? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. You mandated everybody to wear something, but because they think they were on break, they could just now take it off. Because it was all for show, obviously.
My favorite is
hey,
when
we're
people
all doing
turn it around and they say, well, the camera guy and the rest of your staff aren't wearing scams. The only reason you're wearing a scam is the camera's on you.
Right.
And then
exactly.
Then they have to cut.
Yep. That's another one, too. I loved all those videos that would expose so much.
Yeah, but anybody that's wearing a scam right now is not. Yeah, anybody wearing a scam right now is not doing it because of it being an emergency. They're doing it because they want to. So don't anybody tell you otherwise, because
yeah,
I showed you the article.
I mean, I have ladies, I'm sure they probably still wear it because they know they're in a crowded place. They're a lot older. I mean, who knows? I don't know. I'm probably one of the youngest.
Well, it's still not an emergency, though. So that if you did not wear them before March 17th, 2020, there's no emergency.
But
they're doing
wearing
it
a mask
they
inside.
To.
I mean, they're wearing it inside
the
pool. And which is no different, I guess, than people who wear masks when they were outside. So, I mean, I don't know. There's no reasoning.
Yeah, it's like saying in order to buy something from GMO King, you have to wear a bracelet.
Yeah.
Same concept.
Yeah. I just get annoyed, because I have to go to physical therapy, so I'm always walking into a hospital. To do that. And the most annoying thing is when they see me or something, they're like, hold on, let me go get it. And they, again, fingers all over it. I mean, I'm not a germaphobe or anything, but it's like, you really want me to wear something you just put your scrunchy hands on inside of the mask, outside the mask. You know what I mean? It's like, ew, gross. It's just, it's crazy. But yeah, you still have to wear it in hospitals.
When I was in the hospital for 3 days the first time and 8 days the second, I had a total of 18 people that told me I needed to wear a scam. And to be totally honest, the number of times I've worn a scam is zero.
Yeah, well, I didn't wear it either when I was... Yeah, I know when I got in there, too, they, like, you know, when the nurses would come in, they're like, you have to wear your mask. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that one, chickadee. Not doing it. They never say anything after that. As long as, once you, well, at least that experience. I did go once to, I think I needed to go one time to the hospital. It was the emergency room. And they wanted to force me to wear a mask. And I said, are you going to stop treating me? And that usually shuts them up. Now, did they make you take a COVID test when you were in the hospital?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't partake in any of that.
Yeah. So how would you get away with that one if they required it? I don't know if they still require it here. Probably not, because I know before.
Yeah, but if there's
like before,
no emergency and it's signed off, then how could they force you? And they can't say it's because of COVID because there's no emergency.
Yeah, I don't think anymore because, I mean, obviously I've had a few surgeries. There was one maybe back in last May, I think, when I had my cataract surgery. I think they kind of forced me to do a COVID test. I was thinking about not going because I was like, do they really check it before I go in? But I suckered in and took it. And I always say if I, you know, I have to take this, I'm like, I'm going to get sick shortly after, which is crazy because I end up getting sick like a week after, but I've only had it done like, just, I don't know, 2 or 3 times or something.
Well, that's
one of
like
the reasons
saying
why,
that you have to wear a watch to protect you from yourself from having a broken arm. It's the same concept now.
Yeah.
So. If there's no emergency, they can't tell you to do anything, really.
And when does that go in effect?
Yesterday.
Oh,
when he
okay.
signed for it.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple things that I've heard recently, you know, like I believe people on buses and taxis and stuff like that, at least here, that was all pretty much mandatory. I think it's just as recently.
Yeah, that stopped here the second the scams were lifted in February. Everybody pretty much stopped in Las Vegas last year in 2022.
Yeah, they were still. I mean, I don't know if everybody wears them. Like I said, if you wear it, you know, I'm sure the last thing some people want to do is enforce it, you know.
But my thing, though, is if you personally want to wear a scam and let everybody know what kind of a fool you are, then that's fine. My issue is that, and I've asked a couple people, sometimes I have cojones, and if I see somebody wants to start a conversation, I'll ask them. I've come into contact with 2 people that wore scams but wore them under their nose. And they start having a conversation with me, and I'll ask, well, why are you wearing a mask still? The emergency's not around. So he said, well, you never know. You can get COVID. And I said, but you don't have it over your nose. And the answer both times was, well, I need to breathe. So do they think that the COVID germs only goes through the mouth?
Yeah, the insanity.
Or the people that wear it on their chin. Like, I've seen people leave their house, put the scam on their chin, go to the store, leave it on their chin, like they're saving the world.
Well, you know, that's I guess it got programmed so much in people's head that, you know, they feel they're doing a service.
This way, if somebody says, why aren't you wearing a scam, you could just pull it up. It's just stupid to me.
Yeah.
If you're going to wear the scam, you may as well own that you are a slave and just put it on.
Yeah, my physical therapist, I tend to go around noontime. I like to go when it's not busy hour. But I think, when was it, last week? He was like, oh, people are coming in. They're having a meeting over there. You have to put it on. I'm like, they're way over there. No, I'm not, no. What are they going to do? Come over here and tell me to put a mask on?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah. I was like, no, I'm not wearing it. I was like, I'm drinking. Oh, my, come on now.
Well, now you can probably tell everybody that everybody that wants you to wear a scam, you could tell them there's no emergency anymore anywhere in the United States as of April 10th, 2023.
I'll be informing them, most definitely.
So, for me, and you know me, for me it's the same concept of, well, you have to wear flip-flops in case you drop something on your foot.
Right.
So, it's the same concept. Like I said, you have to wear a watch to protect yourself from a broken arm. It's the same concept.
That's crazy.
So I wanted to talk about the Maryland thing. So if you want to keep going on this, that's fine. If you want to switch topics.
No, I was just going to mention, and I don't know what she, how she came about reading it, but I know she was just kind of mentioning how, I think we were talking about shoes or something. And she was just saying that it was so important that, we walk barefoot, walk on the grass and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, she'd say, let's all go barefoot. But, just kind of in the same that how much energy it is to, touch, our earth,
yep.
The earth, the ground, and those kinds of things and the energy that it runs through you, I believe is how she was kind of interpreting it.
Who was this?
So I found this is a friend of mine.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
You can tell somebody about barefoot is legal then. That's cool.
Yeah. I had shared slightly about, about your thing and
mm-hmm.
your station and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, well, that's interesting. So I said, yeah. And then I'm like, he's full-blown, barefoot. She's like, yeah. It's something to do with health. I don't know. Do you feel different? I mean, what was the last time you even wore shoes?
Well, personally, well, remember, I had to wear two boots for the month of March, basically, so,
okay.
If that counts, the thing is that when I started that in 2015, we were known as basically a bunch of, before barefoot is legal, people that did it just... There was no health involvement, really. It was just, I'm going to do it because I feel like it, and if you don't like it, I'll just come in when you're not working. And that concept changed, and now it's more health-forward. And since 2015, our business page has had, about somewhere between 650 and 700 million hits on Facebook alone. Between the group and the business page, I think there's 132 or 133,000 unique people. So we've changed the concept, and I'm a nobody, so it's not like I'm bragging. I'm just saying that what we've been able to do was totally take something that I believed in, where I'm just one person and blew it up to the point where we became a nonprofit, and people can respect what we do. Even if people don't do it, at least people can respect it. So
yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I don't know if your page says that too, but I know they have just said, you know, with people with all their foot problems. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people have foot problems,
mm-hmm.
weight and all that other stuff. But, you know, just how shoes are just, is that kind of the whole thing? You know, like shoes just aren't designed for our feet, you know, with all that people with plantar, you know, they just say if you walk barefoot, you know, how much stronger your feet are.
Well, people go,
you know,
and I will say that part of my healing quickly, in my opinion, is because of that. I'm not saying it's the only reason, but I do have a good vitamin regimen that I handle. I've been limiting my sugar right now too, so that's part of my quick healing. But I just don't believe in wearing the Nikes and things like that where they're basically garbage for you.
Yeah.
But people do it for different reasons, and I don't tell anybody what the reason is why you should do it. I let everybody just make their own decisions. Our movement is not about converting people. This is simply to show that it's normal, and you could wear whatever you want. It's just that we're not going to participate in that. That's all. And we hope that people try it once or twice and they can see what it is that we do. So the only way you're going to know if it's for you or not is by giving it a try on your own.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's my whole belief system. So you do you, and I'm going to do me, and just because you like to wear something that I don't doesn't make you a better person. And at the end of the day, it's nobody's business why you do it. Nobody needs to know if you left the house that way or you wore high heels that you absolutely can't wear anymore because they hurt, or a broken flip-flop, or it could be a number of different reasons. And
yeah,
it's nobody
exactly.
else's job to say that they're better than you.
Yeah, they're very true.
Yeah, I didn't expect to go into that right now. Not that I wasn't prepared, but that just came out without any rehearsal whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we went to St. George over the weekend, and we did a bunch of videos. We have a friend. It's our Wednesday co-host, Amanda. She
okay.
has a health and wellness office, and we did a bunch of videos at her office about work dress codes. So we'll be releasing those one at a time over the next few weeks.
Oh, that's cool.
So I always like doing those videos because just being a wagee, I guess, at a customer service office or a collection agency or whatever. I don't know if you've worked in an office or anything like that, but...
Oh, yes. Yes, I have.
And some of the rules they make up just make no sense whatsoever, but they treat the dress code rule like it's the most important thing that's ever come out of that office. And we want to show the stupidity behind that, because if we can show our point, then more people will say, yeah, that happened to me, or that doesn't make sense. We have to expose what it is that we have to put up with and show how stupid it is.
Well, it's not only like offices. I mean, I worked for you know, like a grocery store, a little one. It's like more natural and, you know, very organic store. But, I mean, I was behind the register. I mean, I was just a cashier girl that I did, you know, part-time. And, you know, it was during the summer. I think I started in, I don't know, August or something. I don't remember. July. Well, and obviously if I'm wearing shorts, you know, I typically, you know, probably have, like, sandals or something. I really wear tennis unless I'm at the gym. But anyways, so, yeah, I had got stopped from the manager, and she was like, you don't got extra other shoes? I'm like, no. She goes, yeah, you can't have open shoes. And I had to think to myself, like, why?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, again, you know, you would always think, you know, again, protect your toes, something falls on you. I'm like, but I'm behind the register. You know, who knows? I'm not stalking. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
Like, literally behind the register. But, yeah. And I was like, damn, those are my good, you know. But, yeah, so I couldn't even do it there. And they're like, no, you got to wear tennies or something.
Yeah, that's the concept. So obviously, if it's an important job like a fireman or policeman or construction, that's not part of the game. I'm just saying, if you say you sell women's clothes, really, is it that important that if your shoe is open in the front and the back, that you have to have nylons with them to be professional?
Yeah.
And I think the time for stupid dress codes is over. I'm not saying that we understand that a bank might not want someone to wear cheap old Navy flip-flops. That's not part of the goal here, but the rules have to make sense.
Well, I remember many, 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 many years ago. I mean, geez, I don't know how old I was when I started working at an office. 14, 15. But I like I said, I don't know how much times have changed, probably not many, but I remember wearing skirts or whatever a lot more back then, you know, younger, thinner, but yeah, I still remember wearing, you know, just regular shoes, and they're like, you know, and I would, you know, get stopped, like, you gotta wear nylons. I'm like, it's freaking hot outside. Like, why the hell am I gonna wear nylons?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was kind of a thing. You needed to wear nylons. But even pants is kind of weird when, you know, you can't wear jeans. They would, you know, wear jeans on Fridays. And I remember stirrups was another big one that ladies couldn't wear. You know, I don't know if it was because they were stretchy or what the reason behind that one was. But, you know, I remember going, you know, and you work behind a cubicle. Like, this is, you know, like, you're not even working with, like, customers. You're hiding in a desk. And yet you have all these crazy rules. Because everybody's working together. Like, nobody sees the light of day. Like, we're all, you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I just never understood why what goes on under your desk is more important than what goes on top of your desk.
Right, yeah, very much so.
And, well,
but,
if we can expose the stupidity and we share everything out and we get more members and we get stronger as a community, then we can win. If we just keep taking it and we put up with it, then we lose. It's the same personal freedom as when they force people to wear scams. The more people comply, the longer it takes to get rid of it, because people comply. And when it's not worth arguing about, or it's their business, so I'll just do it, or I don't want to get yelled at, or I really want to go see this baseball game, so I'll just wear my scam. Or,
well, you know, and it's also,
well,
it's also very...
I don't want a gene therapy, but I'll do it so I could buy McGMO. Go ahead. I just wanted to get that point out.
No, I was just going to say, I'm like, it's very sexualized. I mean, I don't watch TV shows all that often, or, you know, talk, you know, any of those co-host shows, you know, whatever they are. or even, I believe even, which is even crazy, even newscasters. Like, I remember a long time ago, you wouldn't, you know, and I remember, you know, some of the, whoever's behind the desk, you know, the meteorologist or whomever, you know, the journalist people, you know, and I remember sometimes they would always wear like a really nice tie, really nice shirt, and they were barely even dressed on the bottom. They didn't have, you know, they were wearing still like their jammies, flippy slot, you know, flippy, you know, whatever. But, you know, times have changed too. I don't know if you've ever noticed though, but now when you see certain these shows, you know, Wake Into America, whatever those shows, Good Morning America, the desks are clear now. Where they sit is clear. You see what they're wearing on you know, the other bottom half. Have you ever noticed that?
I never really paid attention, but we haven't had a TV. I haven't watched TV in years.
Oh, but yeah, I just remember, you know, they, or, you know, they would do like a, what do you call it? A remodel or something like that, but that would be their, like, you know, their thing. And I was like, oh, well, that's got to really suck for them because not, you know, now, not only do you, you know, again, wardrobe, now you have to sit properly. God forbid, you know, ladies wants to, you know, open up her legs, you know, she's got to sit all pretty and, you know, cross her legs and all that kind of jazz is now, you know, being generated there in the public eye, you know, if you're paying attention to that. But I've noticed that with a couple people, you know, a couple shows that they've done that. So I thought it was interesting. It's probably to get away, you know, from people who are sneaking and doing that, taking off their shoes, only to probably even to enforce it more if you really think about it. But, you know, that's stretching. But I wouldn't be surprised if really that's the basis.
No, nothing is as demoralizing to me than having an hour meeting with a team of 55, 60 people and then talking about shoe dress codes and having slideshows and discussing scenarios and people having to do role-playing to show what's appropriate and what's not and how to tell HR and all this stuff about your coworker. And it's just the most demoralizing stuff I've ever had to go through in an office.
Yeah. Well, that's why they always sometimes hire. Oh, actually, this is another thing I was just thinking about, the scam situation. The same person who we had like a serious long conversation the other day, but she works for MPS, which is Milwaukee Public Schools. She's a teacher, and again, this is just as of recent. So she went from teaching, I don't know what grade, sixth grade I believe, and they wanted her to teach the younger kids, and you know, we're talking like kindergarten, K-3 or something. But can you believe that the kindergartens or, you know, these little kids, they were the only ones that were forced to wear masks, but not anyone else in the entire school? Isn't that nuts?
And there's no reason for it?
No, they're just younger. I believe her school has said, well, they're the young ones, so they tend to have more germs, so they need to wear it. And the teacher, my friend, has, you know, well, some of the kids, you know how they are, they take them off or whatever, and somebody must have observed her or something and said, hey, you got to enforce this. She's like, no, I'm not. She's obviously very anti, you know, all that stuff. And she's just like, no, you don't pay me to tell anybody to do anything. She goes, if anything, I'm going to tell them to take it off. And she's encouraged some of the kids to take them off, you know, as just kind of explain it to them. You know, cause some of the kids are like, oh, my God, am I really sick? Like, why, you know, why is this why I have to wear this? Because
I'm sick.
My mommy
wants me to wear my scam.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, she'd be like, no, you're perfectly fine. You can take it off if you feel like it. You know, before you know, the whole class was like, didn't have it on. They were not happy with her, but she's like, yeah, what are they going to do? And then they wanted her to teach even the younger ones. She's like, no, I, you know, I got an education not to be a daycare teacher, you know. No chance of that putting me over there. Oh, and then the other interesting thing, too, that she was mentioning that, so she obviously doesn't wear it. I don't know if they still enforce it in the schools. I don't know how far stretch this goes, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty recent. So for her not to wear it, obviously for religious reasons, or at least the one that she claimed is why she doesn't wear it. So they required, which I'm sure in many schools or businesses probably do this. So if you don't wear it, you know, you have to get a weekly COVID test.
Hmm.
Well, she chose also not to do that. She would get these emails like, hey, report to wherever, you know, you got to get this done, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, she's been ignoring it for months because she tried to get off. She tried getting leave. She got sick or something, so she tried getting leave as long as she could stretch it out because she refused to go back to school because she was like, no, because they're going to make me or try to think that they can make me with it. But anyway, so one of her friends, another coworker, had said, hey, you know, isn't it annoying? You got to get this, you know, thing every week. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I never go. So then the other young lady was like, well, they send us notifications that we got to go. And she's like, yeah. And I delete them and I ignore them. So the other woman did the same. She's like, oh, okay, I'm going to try this. And it's been like months because obviously school's been going on for quite a while. And no peep. So it's just a matter of just, like you said, just, you know, make a stand, step up and ignore it. Because nobody's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, nobody's there, you know, like, we're going to arrest you. Although there might have been a time when that actually was going on. But, you know, people need to just do them. You know what I mean? If you choose to is one thing. But if you don't want to and you're still doing it, that's a whole nother thing.
Well, and that's my whole issue. That's why I say if you're going to wear a scam, be a commie and just wear it. And it's fine. We know what political agenda you have. I get it. But just wearing it under your chin is, what does that solve?
Yeah, right. Absolutely nothing. Well, other than
your... if somebody says, why don't you have your scam on, you could say, I'm sorry, and put it on.
Right.
Yeah, what are you apologizing for? You're not required to wear it.
Well, and that's the crazy thing, because when you see these people all the time, especially, well, you know, clinics all the time, they're always having under nose. It's like, why bother? You know, next time I'm just going to ask them. Of course, they'll probably get mad. And
well, let me just share, when I was in the hospital, I had like 5, 6, 7, I didn't count exactly, but you had people wearing their scams. You had the nurses wearing scams under their nose telling me I have to put my scam on. And I would say, why do I have to wear a scam? Yours is on your chin. What if I did that? They go, well, that counts as having it on. I'm like, really? That's going to protect me from what? All right, sir, just get in the chair. They, mm-hmm. they just got tired of arguing.
Well, you know, that's like those videos that they used to have, you know, way back. I'd love to say this was like decades ago, but obviously we're still living these times. You know, all those people, you know, they'd be at the stadium, they'd be that one individual who chose not to, and then you have security and police officers coming, and they never even had it on. It's like, you know, it's just so stupid. I don't even know if stupid is the word for it. It's just like, what? Very Twilight Zone, obviously.
Yeah, but
you know
the
I mean?
More
I mean,
we put up with it, and the more, and we could transition, maybe transition's not a word we should use anymore, but we can go to that story about what's going on in Maryland, where in the state of Maryland, it is required for all kids to learn about LGBTQP plus whatever else is on the agenda, and there's no parental opt-out.
Yeah, that's just absurd. And you're pushing this on children that are literally just entering elementary.
No, there are school districts across the country where they teach the kids how to touch themselves, and they can get grades on that.
That's crazy.
But it's liberal, so as long as you got a drag queen in the class, then it's fine.
Yeah. I don't even think health sex education was that explicit.
Can you imagine having a parent-teacher conference because your son in a class doesn't want to whip his stuff out and touch it inappropriately, so then the parents get called in?
Yeah. That's ludicrous.
Yeah, well, it's liberal. That's what people want now. That's what we put up with. Not enough people complain. They just say, oh, well, that's the classroom and these are the times.
Well, you know, and that's the crazy thing. So when you talk about, you know, story time or, you know, teaching kids, you know, like I know one of the books, it was like the ABCs, you know, drag book, you know, every letter had a definition or something, you know, to Q was queen or whatever. I can't wrap my head around it.
How can you have drag queen story time when there's no books? That's common.
Yeah, that's true too. Well, and the crazy thing, that the fact that the parents can't say anything about it, you know, kind of reminds me of, you know, back in the day, and I don't know if your school ever did this. I mean, do you remember when, you know, you would pray and, you know, the allegiance, you know, to the flag and everything, like that's all taken out of school.
Yeah, we,
you know,
did
you
the
can't
pledge
even,
allegiance
you can't
in
even
a moment
say,
of silence for you to do whatever it is that you wanted to do.
Yeah, and like, you know, you can't talk about God, you know, especially in a public school.
Mm-hmm.
You can get fired for that. So it's like, okay, so we took out Bible, we took out, you know, that kind of stuff, but it's just like, oh, but we must implement the gay community, like it's a must.
Yeah.
I don't see the concept. I wish there was a concept to it. Well, we have to do this, but.
Well, there is a concept. The concept is that anyone that is doing this kind of agenda, I'm not going to say 100%, but at least 95, if not more, percent of people that are investing their time doing these drag queen story times are atheist or just not believing in Christianity. So the goal is to get people off the Christian standard and into a way of life that's totally opposite. That's what it's about.
I could see that.
So if you complain about this stuff, then they know that you're the enemy. And the people that are doing the drag queen story time, they're just collateral damage or useful idiots. They eventually will not be in style anymore, and they'll move on to something even more ludicrous and crazy.
Well, I can't even imagine what more ludicrous, but I should not say it because there definitely is a lot more insanity that can follow that.
Well, if you think they can't go any crazier, don't worry, they'll think of something.
Oh, yeah, that's why it's almost frightening to. I don't even want to say it because it's frightening to fathom what could come. I mean, because I, you know, like I said, I mean, I used to go to, you know, clubs and stuff like that were
you know, that exposed all that. Well, I shouldn't say exposed, but I mean that, you know, we kind of lived that life and was very accepted there. But, I mean, I never thought, you know, let's say, how many years would this say? We're talking from 20 years and be like, hey, I bet you in, you know, 2023, we're going to be reading about this in school. And, no. And considering that lifestyle was, you know, so taboo, so hidden, you know, like, wait, it's all cool, do whatever you feel like, but again, why does it always have to be, you know, shoved down your throat, even if you don't want to hear about it?
Well, now there's activists that want heterosexual marriage to be banned. Only gay people can get married.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. But like you said once before, you know, you gave them an inch and, you know, now they want the whole enchilada.
Because I don't think anybody in their right mind cares if somebody that lives in another city that you don't have in contact with, if Mary wants to marry Jane or Robert wants to marry Michael, I don't think that many people care. Even if it's the people across the street from your house, the average person doesn't care. But they care when they're pushing an agenda. It goes from just let us have our rights to let us control your children and make them live our lifestyle. And we just put up with it because if we don't, then we're transphobes.
Yeah. Well, and that's where it draws the line. You know what I mean? It's like, definitely, if that's, you know, that's what, you know, shakes your boat.
See, cool. If a dude wants to wear a dress and read a book and it's innocent, I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. You would just say, well, it's a bunch of weirdos that want to read books to kids. But when there's an agenda involved, then that changes the whole ballgame.
Yeah. But I believe there's no end. I mean, I don't know what's coming down the pipeline, but.
Well, I could tell you, if the goal is to get everybody by the year 2030 to be trans, then when they push the agenda that your carbon body needs to be eradicated and you need to live on the metaverse, when you're on a computer, there are no genders. You could be whatever you want. And so the goal is to take that concept of you could be whatever it is that you want, and that takes the physical limitations out of it so you can, within a couple of buttons, you can decide you're a goldfish that day. You could be
a furry.
So that's
where we're heading,
huh? You could, yeah. Just think on a computer. You could, just like if you play The Sims, for example, you can change clothing. You could change what you are. That would be easy at that point.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that. But the thing that gets me is that I mean, there's a lot that people are yet still in the dark of many things, but I just don't see how people just don't see it.
See, personally, I think the average person sees it, and I know that a lot of people still bring their kids to the drag queen stuff. Because they think, oh, it's just innocent fun. But for the most part, people just want to pretend it's not there.
Hmm.
So if they ignore it, they think it'll go away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's possible.
People
it's not
don't
affecting
like
my life.
They don't, anyone that's that doesn't believe in this just hopes it goes away because they don't have to discuss it.
Well, yeah, it's probably that, you know, it doesn't impact my life. It doesn't affect me in any way. So I'm just going to turn a blind eye, but, you know, I mean, it's everywhere. Especially when you got them, like, these, oh, God, what is that crazy person's name that, she's part of the health department or something? What's her name? Or he?
Oh, Rachel
name?
Levine.
Oh, my goodness. That's just...
Ugh. Yeah, they want every baby to be to have gender reassignment surgery at birth. I just don't understand that particular concept.
That individual doesn't even look like a woman, which is... It's even more crazy. I mean, shit, if you're going to play the part, be the part. Like, there's no convincing on that one. That one is just, I'm left speechless when I think of that one. Because he don't look like man or woman. I mean, I'm not sure where he's coming from, but trying to identify himself as a woman, yeah, that's just. Cuckoo banana.
So I do want to show you the latest in Mr. Broccoli.
Okay.
So when you have it available, let me know.
I'm working on it.
I don't know whether to be honored or find it sad that some people have said this is their favorite cartoon and they look forward to the new episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, definitely a compliment.
I try to be efficient with getting as much in as I can within a short period of time. I try to make every word count if I can.
Well, I enjoy them, and I look forward to hearing this one. So I am ready.
All right, so the wiretap taints the food supply in this episode. So I'll go ahead and count it down. 3, 2, 1, action.
Right there, green dude. You are hereby being detained, sir. How dare you warn everyone about the mRNA gene therapy going into the food supply, sir?
I am not going to let you get away with it.
That is hash fakens, green dude. You'll let us get away with it.
All I know is that we are going to save animals and vegetable seeds from having gene editing spike proteins in the food supply.
Don't worry. We've paid every major farmer in the United States to put this inside everything they do. You fuss budgets and Tucker Carlson followers who said no to 75 gene therapies will now be forced fed them into your food.
But won't you be eating this also?
Sir, I will do no such thing. G-Globalist has hired extra personal chefs and gardeners inside his lair. That is only for you 99%, as 1% will have our own food supply.
That is crazy. Why would you not want to eat what you are forcing everyone else to?
That's easy, sir. We have decided we want to live. We need to eradicate all of your 99% so we can take our land back.
What do you mean take the land back? We all own our houses legally.
The time has come, green dude.
Do what?
The time has come to say fair's fair, to pay the rent, to pay your share. It belongs to them. Let's give it back.
I don't believe this.
I believe it, green dude. At this moment we are only protecting those who do drag queen story time.
I would never do drag queen story time. As a matter of fact, I have arrested a lot of dudes for showing their junks to little kids and them demanding kids to touch it. How can you have drag queen story time with no books to read?
That was the wrong choice of words, says green dude. It is now law that if you say something bad about a drag queen or any trans person, it is instantly hate speech. That carries a $25,000 fine and 6 months in federal prison. You claimed several negative connotations in most unnecessary outburst, sir. Now, turn around bright eyes. It's a total eclipse of the heart. I am demanding for you to go through that naked body scanner so I can collect a picture of those famous kumquats.
Yeah. That is not going to happen, dog.
Yeah. That is going to happen, dog. Now for those articles of clothing, green dude. I need to check your person for any King James Bible's Easter eggs, or gas stoves hiding inside your junk.
You should be going after the guy that killed the Cash App CEO instead.
No way, sir. He is in San Francisco. Murderers have total immunity there. If you identify as a trans person, you have carte blanche to do whatever you want. You run those mean streets now.
There is no reason to give criminals the right to commit crimes. Murder is the worst crime of all.
Well, so you may commit murder if you identify as trans. Did you want to identify as trans? If so, we can provide you a map of Trump supporters and you can have your way with them.
No way. That is about as against God as you can get.
Well, you ignorant dolt. That is the point. We are removing said Christians right now so that it will be much easier to implement the mark of the beast. Those who do not know about the microchip system or are okay with it will be our slaves for the rest of their miserable lives. We are letting them kill the people who are against the system so that we do not have to waste our resources.
I would never be okay with this.
You don't have to be, green dude. Enough people will not wake up, they do not care. As long as they can buy their Bud Light, they are happy. Even if put a trans person on their beer cans, they do not care. You can to wake up all those lemmings. If they have not woken up yet, they never will. Everyone is collateral damage. You should just give up already and live in Geolobalist's lair with me and the other stupid heroes, sir.
Why would I ever want to do that?
If you say yes, I can show you exclusive pictures of Big Mike's kumquats. Various Otero does not even have these photographs.
That is disgusting. Why would I want that?
Clout, being dude. It gives us clout. Now you need to put said dungarees and blouse right here, right now in front of my person. If you like, I can expose my kumquats as well. You have complete authority to inspect my junk to make sure I am not hiding any Trump supporters or fake vaccine passports inside my person.
Hey everyone. We need to fight back against these globalists. Letting them start their cashless society and accepting a microchip is in store for us unless you tell your friends to wake up and say no. Boycott all businesses that are signed on to the death and destruction of America. You also need to check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and always makes time for callers to get in also. Gzo to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. There is also a schedule on the freedomizerradio.com website so you can check out all the other shows and Freedomizer also.
If you dare listen to Freedomizer Radio, I will hunt you down personally and demand to see your junks. We need to make sure you're not making any threats to our global domination. You 99% are all useless eaters that us globalists can do without. For shame, you still have your god, your guns, and your free speech. You all are something that cares that need disposing off.
Alright, so I hope that that you appreciated that.
Yeah, I like that one. I mean, I like them all.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything in particular that you like in these, but I try to make them tolerable for everybody.
Yeah, I like the concept. This one was pretty fast. How long? This wasn't a really long one.
I wouldn't say that was long.
No, I said it wasn't. It wasn't long. This wasn't a real long.
Oh.
You've had some that are, I mean, not long, but this one seemed short. You know,
well,
it was interesting. Like you could have enjoyed listening to more of it.
Well, that's why I try to make every word count, because if every word counts, then more people will watch the entirety of it. So I think I've only had one go over 10 minutes. They usually will not go that deep. Usually it's 6 to 8 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a good time. There's enough time to add content and share the information and, you know, get everything all in there. So, yeah, I like it.
Well, thank you. All right, so what else do we want to get into here? I do have a Tucker Carlson from today, but I haven't gotten there. I haven't uploaded it yet.
Okay.
All right, let me see if I can get that going here. Let's see here. So, all right, let's do that. So if you have any other ideas for a quick second while I'm uploading, that would be helpful.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said if you had anything to talk about for like just a few seconds, that would be helpful because I'm uploading the video for us.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, so I found it very interesting that there was something about sun gazing. I never realized that it was beneficial to stare at the sun.
Yeah, especially if you do it in the morning. I do that often. I won't do it when it's over 100 degrees, though, because it's just too hot to stay outside. But at a normal temperature early in the morning, it works.
How long is, like, what's the longest you do that for?
I try to go out in the morning 10 to 15 minutes when it's warm out.
Oh, okay.
And then afterwards, I have some kettlebells I'll take with me, and I'll try to get a half hour of it in outside in the sun. 10 to 15 just sun gazing, and the rest just trying to get some stretching and kettlebelling in.
Yeah, that's pretty, I had no idea.
See, I think a lot of
I mean,
that
I know
is just as important as hitting the gym, personally.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, I know it's good to be outside, you know, for the, you know, the whole vitamin D thing, but just not like, again, just the exposure of just staring at the sun. Now, are you big on, obviously, because I know it's so super hot out by you, do you wear sunglasses?
No, I'm not opposed to wearing sunglasses if they're needed, I guess, but I haven't worn them in years.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder if there's a correlation to if you wear sunglasses more often that you tend to have actually more eye problems. I mean, I don't know if there's ever really, there's like a actual research on that.
Yeah, I'd
be curious.
I went through a regimen a few years ago when my eyesight, my glasses were, I was minus 425 in each eye. And I got pretty serious into sun gazing and doing some other stuff. And I got my glasses down to minus 250 in each eye. And my glasses now are slightly too strong for me. So I could probably go down to a minus 100 or maybe a 225. I'm not saying it's major, but I have a hard time seeing sometimes. At night, it's okay. But during the day, my glasses just seem like they're way strong.
Hmm. That's interesting. Most people's eyesight get worse over time because you wear them so much. I mean...
Well, yeah, because what happens is that eye exercises, believe it or not. And if you're just looking through glasses all day, your eyes just get lazy. Whereas you have to actually work your eye muscles, and yeah, your eyes have muscles too, so if you don't use your muscles, you lose them.
Hmm. Yeah, because my eyesight, like, seems like literally, I don't even know how quickly it was, but since I had my cataract surgery, I mean, prior to it, I swear I never needed reading glasses. I mean, I couldn't see like the greatest, you know, some small print was, you know, unbearable. I couldn't see it. But after my surgery, I'm like, shit, like everything is like, is that even words? I don't even, like, what am I looking at? Yeah. I should probably maybe not rely so much on the readers and try to straighten my eyes. So, you know, a little more after my surgery and it's driving me nuts because I probably had to wear glasses since I was 12, but I never wore them. And it wasn't until I just had the surgery when everything started to seem like going dark and I started filtering lights, you know, with the cataracts when I was in dark, you know. I'd walk into a room and I'd constantly have to turn on the lights because I couldn't see anything. My mom was always like, what are you doing? You never turn on the lights. I'm like, I know. Like, and then I found out I had cataracts. I'm like, oh, well, okay, that makes sense. But, yeah, now it's just like, now I see why some people who, you know, only need it for readers, they got like 100 glasses, you know, 5 here, 5 there, you know, in every room because you're not wearing them consistently. But I'm starting to become that person. And I hate it because I got to dig them up. It's not like I have them hanging on me. You know, I always have to like, oh, my God, I got to, you know. Like, I'll be at the gym and I'll get a text. I'm like, I don't even know what it says here. Or I'll have to do something and I have to Google something. I'm like, I can't see. Like, I'm just going to carry my purse around me or maybe get those little thingies to hang it on because I can't see. It's really horrible. So what kind of exercises do you do for the eyes?
Well, you have to rotate. You have to look in different directions, and you have to just like if you're doing dumbbells or something.
Oh, okay.
So you have to move your eyes.
Hmm.
And sun gazing helps.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. Yeah, I used to work outside, but I always felt it was, my eyes are so sensitive to the light, but probably because I keep wearing those sunglasses all the time. I'm like, I wear sunglasses like crazy. I may not do that anymore. Or at least for like cool effects, maybe I'll get the lighter ones.
Yeah, I haven't, like I said, I haven't worn them in forever. I know people that are adamant against them, and I'm not that bad, but I don't really, I don't listen to that. I just don't wear them.
That are against sunglasses?
Yeah.
Well, like my mom, I don't even think she's ever worn a pair. I mean, she drives all the time during the day, and she doesn't seem to be as affected when the sun's like beaming right at you, especially when you're driving.
All right. Well, let me see here if our video is up yet.
All right.
So, this one here is Tucker Carlson from today. We can't keep these secrets forever. So, I'll go ahead and play it now.
Okay.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Imagine being a historian 100 years from now trying to figure out what happened here. There are a lot of questions that are going to puzzle you, but one of the most baffling will be, how did Joe Biden get the Democratic nomination in 2020? 2020 was the year, you will remember, when we learned that white people are bad and systemic racism is responsible for everything that has gone wrong in the world. And yet, 2020 was also the year the Democrats nominated, by their free choice, an elderly white man from a slave state who'd once eulogized a Klan recruiter. So the anti-white party picked the white guy. How did that happen? Well, it's pretty simple. Democrats care about power, and power derives from winning. When you lose, you don't have power. And Bernie Sanders couldn't win. Sanders terrified the donor class. So Democrats went with Joe Biden, who loves the donor class and is loved by them. And from a fundraising perspective, that turned out to be a wise choice. By the end of that cycle, Democrats had spent a total of $8.4 billion. That includes $400 million just from Mark Zuckerberg. And that total does not even include the tens of billions in free media coverage, as slick and dishonest as any paid ad, but that, unlike paid ads, is not regulated by campaign finance law. So if you add all of that up, the Democratic Party dropped more in that presidential year than the entire annual GDP of most African countries, all to dislodge Donald Trump from the White House. Nothing like that has ever happened. Can they do it again? That's the question before us, and it's a tougher question this round. 2.5 years ago, many voters could tell themselves that Joe Biden might unite the country. Some mistook his dementia for moderation, but no one can make that mistake now. With the American economy in decline and the rest of the world in obvious chaos, Biden's going to have to come up with a whole new set of lies in order to keep his job, and that's not an easy thing. And that may explain why, as of mid-April 2023, where we are now, Joe Biden still has not formally announced his reelection campaign. He was asked about it this morning on NBC. Here he is, sounding less than all in.
Are you saying that you would be taking part in our upcoming election in 2024?
Well, I'll either be Roland Ager, being the guy who's pushing him out.
Come on, help a brother out. Make
no,
some news
no,
for
no,
me.
No, I plan on running now, but we're not prepared to announce it yet.
He can barely speak the words. We're not prepared to announce it yet, he says with his eyes closed. Well, why aren't they announcing it? Well, you know why. He's going to be 82 by the next inauguration, and no one really other than his wife thinks that's a good idea, because it's not. So where does that leave Democrats? Well, if you're a rational person who took them at their word, you would assume the party, the Democratic Party, would replace Joe Biden with someone who embodies their highest values. You imagine a trans black woman with a background in corporate HR, or a Latinx drag queen with purple hair and lots of face piercings, or maybe even Kamala Harris. But no, in fact, no chance. That would be principled, and therefore, they will never do it. Nominating someone you say you support? No. When Biden leaves, or more likely is shoved aside, they're going to nominate another straight white man who loves the big banks. Someone even oilier and faker than Joe Biden. Why would they do that? Because it worked last time. And we're guessing, if we had to bet tonight, it's going to be Gavin Newsom. We can't say that for certain, but we have noticed Gavin Newsom was at the White House not long ago when Joe Biden wasn't, just kind of measuring the curtains. And then over the weekend we saw this, Gavin Newsom sitting down with the Democratic Party's former spokeswoman, now in residence at MSNBC, Jen Psaki. Psaki didn't conduct really an interview. She's not a journalist. She gave Newsom instead a chance to outline his platform for when he takes complete control. So don't dismiss him. You may be in the habit of dismissing Gavin Newsom. Pay close attention as he gives his pitch on MSNBC.
You know, I just finished 18 events in 5 days in California, and I've sacrificed my heart and soul for my state, and I take a backseat to no one on that. So I get it. But I also don't get what's going on in this country. I don't get why everybody's not doing what we're doing. All the progress the last half century is being rolled back in these states in real time, just the last few years. I don't think people fully understand the rights regression, individual liberties, on civil rights, on voting rights, on the gerrymandering that's happening out here.
Well, I mean, is your brain exploding? If you're a literal person, maybe so. This is the guy who forced every one of his 40 million residents in his state to get an experimental vaccine, whether they wanted to or not, lecturing you about individual rights and civil liberties. Quote, I don't get why everyone isn't doing what we're doing in California, he says. Maybe because it's not working? Because the people who live in your state who can afford to leave have? More people have left California this year than any state in the country. California, the largest net emigration in the United States. They actually ran out of U-Hauls. It was that bad. So you have a mixture of billionaires and desperately poor people who are dependent upon the state. Kind of like Latin America. That's exactly the economic structure, increasingly, of the state of California. It's not a place of promise, and you know that because middle-class people with families aren't moving there. That's how you know. Is your state doing the right thing? Well, people who haven't made it but would like to would be moving there, not fleeing from tyranny in other countries or desperate poverty in Central America, but from other parts of America. Are they moving there? No, they're not. Where are they going? Well, actually, they're going to Florida. That's not a political point. It's just true, and it's measurable. So you'd think if you were a normal person and you were running California, you'd think, what are they doing in Florida that we should be doing? No, not Gavin Newsom. And this is the key to his appeal to Democratic leaders. Like Joe Biden, he will literally say anything, and then he'll take it to 11 and lecture the person who's doing a better job than he is on how he's a bad person. Watch Newsom tell the governor of Florida how to run a state.
There was a pretty startling split screen. You had 1,000 kids Nashville out there protesting the lack of action on gun reform measures. Mm-hmm. Well, you had Governor DeSantis signing a bill on permitless carry behind closed doors.
Yeah,
what did you make of that?
Scared to death.
Who is he scared of?
Scared of the people. Scared
of the
people
public. In Florida?
Yeah, that overwhelmingly oppose that position. But I think the majority of NRA members, you know, probably oppose that position.
This is what happens when everything about you, from your physical features to your very soul, has been altered by cosmetic surgery. Just like Joe Biden, but younger. You'll say literally anything. Words have no connection to reality. There's no expectation that you're describing something real. You're merely using words as a tool to gain power. That's terrifying. It's dishonest to its core. So you just heard Gavin Newsom say that only leaders who are, quote, scared of the people let the people carry firearms. They're so scared of the people, they let them defend themselves. By contrast, when you're a completely legitimate leader presiding over a system that's not rigged, you start confiscating guns. You live in a state where only the governor's bodyguards can be armed. It's like, what you're seeing here is not just the triumph of packaging over reality, but the triumph of dishonesty over truth. That's so dishonest that he's not even trying to convince you. He's trying to reshape reality itself. By the way, why wouldn't he? If men can become women, then why wouldn't everything Gavin Newsom says be true just because he said it? So what's the effect on the actual state, our largest state, the prettiest state, what was for decades the economic engine of the United States, California? What has been the effect of Gavin Newsom's leadership on that state? Well, this has been well chronicled. Newsom's been the governor of California, beat a recall recently since 2019 for 4 years. Before that, he ran San Francisco, where he's from. So how's San Francisco doing? Under good leadership, San Francisco would be thriving. But under Gavin Newsom's leadership, well, here's what's happening in San Francisco.
Friends identify the victim as Don Carmignani, a former San Francisco fire commissioner. He suffered a fractured skull, broken jaw, and lots of lacerations to his face and head. Carmignani showed up to his mother's place after they refused to move. Soon they picked up and put down near the corner laundromat. Carmignani confronted them, and that, they say, is what provoked the brutal beating. The crime angering and traumatizing those who heard or saw it all unfold.
I moved here because I love the city, and it's becoming more and more disturbing to live here.
Yeah, they just closed today, actually, a Whole Foods in downtown San Francisco. Not a mom-and-pop place, a Whole Foods. A well-backed, in fact, owned by Amazon company, biggest company in the world, owns the grocery store, and they still had to close it. A grocery store that caters to rich people in one of the richest cities in the world, and they had to close it because why? Because the people who worked there were too afraid for their own physical safety to show up for work. So that's what's happening in San Francisco. And by the way, last week, Bob Lee, the founder of Cash App, was murdered, stabbed to death on the street, and what they tell us is one of the nicest parts of San Francisco. And then apparently, according to surveillance video, the guy who murdered him, randomly, just murdered him on principle, I guess, walked down the street completely at ease, pulling a rolling bag behind him because he has nothing to fear because there are no cops. This is a state in which crime has been legalized and the only crimes are now thought crimes. If you disagree with the people in charge, then you're in serious trouble. But if you hurt others or steal, you're fine. You're part of a protected class. That's the definition of tyranny. And there are still some people in California who understand that. Here's one sheriff in Riverside County.
In the last 10 years, criminals have become increasingly more violent and brazen. What we are seeing in response to these very lax laws on crime, the push to decriminalize everything, the push to lessen the penalty for something or even take away the penalty for crime, is basically emboldening criminals to do more. It's really horrifying for law enforcement, and it's horrifying for the public that has to deal with it.
So here's our guess. We don't know the guy, but we would bet money that the second that man is vested in his pension, in other words, the second he can leave, he'll be in Idaho or Arizona or anywhere other than that state, because you can't live in a state like that unless you're rich, of course. So if you cared about the state of California, you would do something about this. But Gavin Newsom has completely ignored the condition of his state physically, it's now filthy, or the lives of the people who live there. Instead, he's doing what they all do, which is doubling down on identity politics, pandering to people on the basis of their skin color or their sexual orientation or whatever. And because ultimately he is a stiff, robotic lizard man, he's doing it in the most awkward possible way. Here he is, April 5th, at the New College of Florida, because he is running for president, trying his best to seem interested as he claps along to an ethnic song and dance.
He got me a new sister.
So, you want to know if he's running for president? Well, he flew to Florida to degrade himself on camera. And self-abasement is the number one requirement of politics. You have to be willing to leave your dignity at the door. And for Gavin Newsom, that's easy. So, if your first reaction to that is to recoil in revulsion and turn off your television set, then you're the threat to democracy. Normal people are the threat to democracy. Newsom's campaign ad, and this is the first of his presidential campaign ads, we predict, makes that perfectly clear. Watch.
We can't solve a problem without first identifying it. And the problem in our country right now? Authoritarian leaders who are so hell-bent on gaining power and keeping it by whatever means necessary that they're directly attacking our freedoms in state after state. That's why I'm launching the Campaign for Democracy. We're going on the road to take the fight to states where freedom is most under attack, where Republican leaders ban books, criminalize doctors, fire teachers, intimidate librarians, kidnap migrants, target trans kids, stoke racism, condone anti-Semitism, force the victims of rape and incest to carry their attacker's baby, where they ignore the will of the people and make it harder to vote and easier to buy assault weapons. We'll help lead the fight to make sure we elect leaders in 2024 who believe in democracy.
Oh, the huevos on that man. You got to give him credit. Everything in that ad is not only untrue, it is the mirror image of the truth. It is the exact opposite of the truth. And it's therefore not just misleading, it is evil. This is not a question of we disagree on something. This is a fact of someone flipping around the truth and inverting it. If you're opposed to men in dresses twerking in front of kids, you're intimidating librarians. If you pause before you say castrate children, you're targeting trans kids. And of course, if you're not with his program, you don't believe in democracy. You're promoting authoritarianism. This is the man who's governor of a state in which there really is no democracy, in which all the candidates and the election outcomes are chosen by the unions, which are in bed with the Democratic Party. It's a one-party state. And the man who presides over a one-party state is lecturing you about democracy? Right. This is the guy who shut down the state of California and all of its schools for all the poor people while he sent his children to in-person private schools and went to dinner at the most expensive restaurant in the United States. Meanwhile, anyone who didn't get his creepy shot, he compared to a criminal, to a drunk driver. Watch.
And with all due respect, you don't have the choice to go out and drink and drive and put everybody else's lives at risk. That's the equivalent of this moment with the deadliness and efficiency of the Delta virus.
So that turned out to be completely untrue, completely provably untrue as a matter of science. And again, the literal among us are driven crazy by watching a videotape like that. But Gavin Newsom is not driven crazy. It doesn't bother him at all. He's never apologized. He's never revised what he said before. He just kept going. This is a man who will say anything. And people who will say anything tend to be willing to do anything. And like Joe Biden, he has consistently run as a moderate and falsely. Back in 2008, as mayor of San Francisco, he promised to eliminate homelessness within the city within 10 years. That, of course, didn't work out. He's never apologized for that. In fact, homelessness has grown by double digits under his stewardship of the state. But if you want to understand who Gavin Newsom really is, if you want to appreciate not just the dishonesty, but the deep malice at the core of him, the desire to hurt other people, and the indifference to human suffering that has been the hallmark of his governorship, watch this clip from 2020 on sobriety.
Clean and sober is one of the biggest damn mistakes this country's ever made. I know it's a hold-your-hand idealistic point of view that somehow magically, I mean, God bless some of you. If you're like me, I've been known to have a glass of wine at night watching some of the nightly news. We all need to self-medicate periodically.
We all need to self-medicate periodically. Well, now we have a country in which virtually everyone is self-medicating all the time, very often with the help of doctors. And nowhere is it worse than the state of California. If you cared about the people who lived in the state of California, you would notice this. Nearly 30,000 Californians die every single year from drugs and alcohol. That's the most of any state. To put it in perspective, that is close to 10 times as many people who die every year from gunfire. And, of course, addiction is the central driver of homelessness, which has not only made the state ugly and dangerous and unlivable, but has also destroyed the lives of the people who are living on the streets. What about them? Gavin Newsom doesn't care. Quote, clean and sober is one of the biggest damn mistakes this country ever made. Really? If you're willing to say that, if you care so little about the people who live in your state that you will mock their sobriety, then you're definitely running for president. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch... If the government were ever to digitize currency, your freedoms would evaporate. They could zero out your bank account and make you impoverished for being disobedient. You would be a serf at best. And with that in mind, you should know that central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, are about to become the norm in Europe. The president of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, has just said that Europeans will not be able to use more than $1,000 in cash anymore.
Now we have in Europe this threshold. Above 1,000 euros, you cannot pay cash. If you do, you are on the gray market. So you take your risk. You get caught, you are fined, or you go in jail.
So you go to jail for spending your own money if they don't control it. That's coming here. Tulsi Gabbard has spoken out against it. She, of course, ran for president, served in the House from Hawaii, and joins us now. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Tucker.
This is so dystopian. You'd hate to think it could ever come here. Do you think it might?
I mean, this is just the latest effort by those in power in our country who are intent on undermining and taking away our own freedoms and liberties. This central bank digital currency is about government-sanctioned surveillance and control. It's about them being able to keep track of every single thing that we purchase, whether it's a stick of gum or an automobile or anything in between. And so if they have all this information and data, which they will in this system, then where does that lead? It gives them the power to decide, okay, well, hey, we don't want to allow you to purchase certain things, or we may deem it necessary to freeze your overall account. This power and what they can do with it, it's not something we have to imagine. We've already seen how Democrats in Congress, Elizabeth Warren and others, are pressuring credit card companies to code and keep track of any purchase that's made at a store that sells firearms. Why? So that these private companies can then say, hey, this person is purchasing, I don't know what they deem is kind of the threshold, but they will then report that as suspicious activity to law enforcement and then expect law enforcement to take action and go after the purchases, legal purchases that a private person made. So this all comes back to how you open this. Once we give up our economic autonomy, we no longer have freedom. Once we allow someone else to control our wallet, they then control our freedom.
Do you think people understand what this means? It'll be sold, as always, as an effort to push back against terrorism or international financiers or crime or whatever, but do people understand on a gut level what could be coming?
I don't think they do, and it's understandable, because if you listen to what the government is telling us, like with all of these other things, whether it's the Patriot Act or the Restrict Act, they're doing the very same thing with this, saying, hey, this is for your own good. This is for your convenience, to make it easier for you to conduct transactions, when in fact they are giving themselves all of the power, taking it away from us, undermining our God-given rights and freedoms in the Constitution, because they want to be able to control us. They want to be able to control we the people.
So nicely put. Tulsi Gabbard, joining us tonight. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Tucker.
Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly open stories that are changing the world and changing your life. I'm Tucker Carlson tonight.
All right, so that was Tucker Carlson with a couple of clips. I think that was, I don't know if that was yesterday or today.
No, I didn't see it.
But regardless.
He gets so fired up. I haven't seen him in a while. I used to watch him like, oh my God, daily.
So there's one with Adam Carolla I was wanting to play also. I just wanted to let you know that you weren't going to just have a barrage of clips and I'm not going to talk anymore.
No, that's fine.
So we got 3 minutes of Adam Carolla. I'm going to go ahead and let that run here.
Okay.
But before that happens, we thought we would check in on someone who has spent his life in the state and has seen it change longitudinally over more than 50 years. Adam Carolla is our friend. He joins us tonight to respond to a potential Gavin Newsom presidential run. Adam, he's your governor. What do you think of this?
All right. I could barely watch that without crawling out of my skin or not being clean and sober. Okay, couple things. He came on my podcast 9 years ago, and he told me his number one issue was homeless and homelessness. That was his number one issue. I said to him, the homeless population, this is 10 years ago, is comprised of drug addicts and people with mental disabilities and or both. He then said to me, sitting 3 feet across from me, but what about the true face of homelessness, which is a mother of three who has a full-time minimum wage job whose husband left her? So that was his idea of solving a problem, and he declared himself the number one issue is homelessness, and that's what he thought homeless was in California. Of course, it's grown exponentially, and no one has ever seen a mother of three with a full-time job out on the street. He's a sociopathic buffoon, but the scary part is people vote for him. It's really you and I, we don't need to solve the riddle of Gavin Newsom. He's a carpetbagger. He's an idiot. He's bought and sold. He's a sociopath. He puts Brill Cream on his teeth. Fine. Why do people vote for him? That's the real question that we need to solve.
Well, that's the threat to democracy right there. If you have a population, it's a brand new population, a huge percentage of Californians just got there from other countries. If you have a population that votes for a leader that makes things worse, that is the challenge to democracy, and make things worse measurably, like measurably, economically, in crime. I mean, like, that's a huge problem, a scary problem.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The great Carroll Shelby, the man who made the Shelby Cobra, left Texas in the 60s to come to California to build cars. Could you imagine leaving Texas and coming to California to manufacture something in 2023? Also, here's a thought experiment that I think would work. Do you think if a number of Joe Biden's aides said to him, you can't run for president, we're already in our second term, do you think he would believe that?
Okay, that's good. I don't run into Biden too often, but if I ever see him, I'm going to say that. You know, the Constitution just won't allow it, sir. I'm sorry. Out of Carolla.
Goodbye.
That is hilarious. Performing in New York in May. Good luck there. Great to see you tonight. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly open stories that are changing the world and changing your life. I'm Tucker Carlson tonight.
All right. Well, I hope you appreciated Adam Carolla.
Yes, I did.
All right. So what do we feel like getting into right now here? So do you have anything regarding the swimmer that was attacked because the trans community is against her because she doesn't want to lose swimming races to Leah Thomas, who's not really a woman?
No, I haven't followed that. What type of swim team is this?
Well, trans women are now better women than actual women. So if you say you don't want to lose swimming races to a lady that has junk, then you're a transphobe.
Now, I thought they weren't allowing. Is this just in certain places? Because I thought there were. I thought.
Oh, the international competitions are not allowing it, but that doesn't mean that it's. That doesn't mean that. Let me just say this. You have women actually speaking out against women's rights. I don't know how to word it any other way.
Now, what about the Olympics? Is that still allowed, or where do we end up on that one?
As far as I know, the international competitions are not allowing it. But anything in the United States. But you have all these countries now, like Russia, for example. They are discussing with other nations, and China's involved too. There's going to be a big war, whether it's physically or not. The war is going to be the globalists versus China and Russia, and they are Russia is courting all these other countries to say the United States is done. They're going by way of Germany in the late 1930s. We're going to defeat the New World Order. So you have not just Iran siding with them, but lately Brazil signed on, Pakistan, India, Mexico, Japan, France, among others, that have all said they're leaving the U.S. dollar behind, and they are going to work with the new whatever it is, because they don't want to work with George Soros and Bill Gates and the globalists.
Mm.
So there's going to be a war between Russia, China, and the other countries that are wanting to start this new worldwide reserve currency versus the United States. And I think the United States is going to be on both sides of the war. They are going to fight Russia and China, and they are going to fight Americans at the same time.
Yeah, that's not good.
But they're going to lose on both fronts.
Yeah, when you hear stuff like that, it doesn't feel very good to be, an American.
No, but everybody had to steal the election, and that's why they want Trump in jail. It's almost exactly like what happened in Nazi Germany. You jail your political prisoners, then you arrest the people that do the right thing because you can't influence them, and if you are on the side of evil, well, you can go ahead and do our dirty work, and we'll respect you.
Yeah.
So we have a caller. Go ahead and share, and then I'm going to bring a caller in here.
Okay. Oh, no, I was just no, that's fine. Bring in the caller.
No, you had a point. We have time for you.
Yeah, it's just you have to just kind of wonder. I mean, how many – it just seems like there's just so much evil. I mean –
yeah,
which,
but that's what Satan likes. So if you're doing evil, if you're participating in drag queen story time, or you are the Dalai Lama who wants kids to suck your tongue, then you're on the side of good.
Yeah, well, and that goes away, religion and God is, and it's non-existent, it's just like, I wouldn't say turn everybody's faith, but just, turn everybody's beliefs into something else and just make it so much more accepting in the sense, yeah. And then, yeah, like you said before, just everybody else becomes wrong.
All right, so let's go ahead and bring Pianchi in here. So, Pianchi, welcome to the show here tonight.
How you guys doing?
Hey, how's it going?
You know, you look at this thing that went on in Nashville. This shows you how the left can hijack a movement. Now, those kids had a logical concern. I talked to one on text, communicated with one on YouTube. And I asked her what would reform look like, and she said, we don't want to get killed. All right, then. I can understand. But the organizing of the march, and as the march proceeded, and how it was taken over by the politicians, is the thing that you need to look for. Because that's exactly what was done. It was taken over by those groups, politicians, groups like the LGBTQ and T, whatever, the rainbow groups. It was taken over by politicians. Those two black males join an organization, getting elected in the General Assembly. Well, the General Assembly has rules you have to follow, just like any other organization. Whether it's the Kappa, the Pi Beta, Congressional Black, any organization you join, you got rules to follow. When you break the rules, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And it has nothing, it's not about racism, but you've seen these politicians like Clyburn coming out saying, well, this reminds me of when I was a kid in Jim Crow, this, that, and the other. One guy is Pearson, I think it was his name, one with the perm hair. He's doing photo ops with, get this, Joanne Baez, B-A-E-Z. You know what
Baez.
She was?
Okay.
Baez, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going back to the 1964 Civil Rights March on Washington with King. And she's doing photo ops, holding his hand and singing songs like We Shall Overcome and We're Not Gonna Stop Now and stuff like that. The same thing with the other legislator, the white female, who missed being kicked out by one vote. She's also seen walking, holding hands, actually arm, as if they're coming down to perform holy matrimony. So that there is a prime example how the left would take a movement and use it for their own accord, what we see. And then I hear what J.P. Morgan is making available, $10 million for black female business. Well, what about the black male? So are they engaging in... Are they engaging in separation tactics? And where did we hear before such nonsense about these privileges to the black female? Well, Joe Biden said it when he made mention that the next Supreme Court justice would be a black female. Well, that makes you believe and kind of make you suspicious that Biden and J.P. Morgan, somebody, has been talking to each other to be that clearly and punctual in making those type of statements. It's little tidbits like that you got to pay attention to. Anyway, that's my observation.
Well, it's like, though, that you... In order to be a Democrat, you have to fit in a certain box. And they look for movements like that because they could try to alienate people and say, look, it's us against them. And if they can look through pockets of groups and, like, I run a nonprofit. The last thing I'd ever want to do is allow the Democrat Party to co-opt what I'm doing. I don't need the George Soros money that badly. But a lot of people
Well,
say
they
it,
do do that. Because during the 2014 incident in Ferguson, and Mike Brown and David, Darren, Officer Darren.
Yeah.
I met Rashid Aldridge, who was one of the voices on loudspeakers in all that uproar. He would go on to become a state rep, and later on, as presently, he's on the St. Louis Aldermanic Board. But I met with him, and I met him at a house that was used as a meeting place there on Skinker Avenue across the street from the veterinary clinic about three blocks south of Delmar. It was him, and I guess it's maybe been like maybe three or four other, one black young man and about three or four white males, young. And they got in conversation, and the white males was trying to get him to lead his following over to Webster Groves to do a demonstration in front of somebody's house, similar to what we saw going on with just Judge Kavanaugh and Judge Thomas before the decision came down to turn Roe back over to the state. So that there was an example how you got some progressives in the left would try to siege a movement and lead it on to their own particular agenda. You just got to pay attention to them.
Well, exactly. And then they could take all those people that might decide in the future that they want abortions, and they're told that, well, they're going to take it away, so join with us. And then you think you're joining a legitimate group, just like Black Lives Matter. They might have been legitimate to start out, but when George Soros puts money in it, then it becomes a political issue that is way beyond what the purpose was intended to be.
Well, then you can hear these other politicians, congresspeople, Clyburn using the terms like I told you. You got Cori Bush always using the term about white supremacy and white nationalism and practically everything that she speaks on. And they're doing it for a reason. It's a cliche that have worked for them, and they're going to continue to ride their horse until it's down to its nubs. And people fall for it. They are exploiting the movement there in Nashville for their own particular purpose, and they're getting by with it.
Yeah, well, vote for me. I'm going to stop white supremacy, and they're doing it. Even though there's nobody that is participating in white supremacy. Unless you're someone like Larry Elder, who happens to be so black he doesn't show up in pictures.
Well, you know, that's basically what you got going on, Proof. And we got to fight them back. You just can't. I mean, what we're seeing is, you know, conservative people that love the country is sitting back on their haunches and seeing what's going to happen next. But that there can get you seriously
injured.
Yeah,
we were talking about that in the first hour, Bridget and myself, where people, the reason why 30% of the public looks like 90% of the public is that they take advantage of the fact that the conservative types, they will give in because they don't want to get involved in an argument. So it's like, yeah, whatever. They'll either be quiet or they'll give in because they don't want to have an argument. And it's like you're fighting a fire with a paper bag.
You're absolutely right. I'm going to go on mute and continue to listen.
All right. Bridget, you want to add
on
that?
Great here. No, I was just going to say it was great hearing from you.
But that race card just gets played over and over, and it keeps working, though, and that's the thing, is that the average person doesn't stand up and say, I'm tired of this. And if you do stand up, you're by yourself because nobody else is willing to stand up with you.
Yeah. Well, too many people have, well, I shouldn't say too many people because that's, I mean, it's like, you know, what would be the percentage of, but yeah, definitely people need to, you know, bring light to everything that's going on and, you know, however they can possibly do that, because if that doesn't happen, you know, it's just, it's either going to continue, you know, it's just, it's never going to end.
But you, or we all had a legitimate question before, though, in the sense of why do people still take their kids to drag queen story time? Why do moms still give kids $5 to put in a drag queen's butt?
And these are normal parents. I have a friend and she used to be heterosexual. I mean, she was married, you know, had a husband and the whole shebang, and he passed away, and I don't know, somewhere down the line, you know, she started dating chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand, you know, okay, now she's whether she always has been. Who knows? I never really cared to have that conversation. But, you know, she takes her, you know, her children, you know, to all the pride festivals and all the pride
mm-hmm.
events that are happening in town, you know, very, include her children. They're not one or the other. I don't really know. They're very young. They're like 9 and 14, but she exposes them to that, I don't know, do I say lifestyle? I don't know. But, you know, so these parents that do this, I mean, are they part of the, you know, are they heterosexual people? Are they part of the gay community? Are they maybe just don't realize the damage that they're causing their children? They just think, hey, this is all fun and games. I mean, like, you know, what side of the fence are they on? Well, obviously, not because they're participating in it. But do you understand?
I mean, these
parents. I mean, are they just trying to gather a new experience? I mean, I heard that one lady, and she was very vocal. I mean, when she spoke out at the schools, like this, you know, what was going on and all that stuff, and many people were backing her. So who are the other percent that's just like, yay, let's do this? Like, are they gay or are they heterosexual? Like, do you know? Is it a mix?
I wish I know. I mean, I know people who are gay, but I don't really ever ask about that because...
Yeah.
I just feel
like
it's none of my business, but
yeah.
I am curious about the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, there has to be.
My thing is that I just can't believe people don't see it.
I think probably a good portion of it is probably people think that it's just no harm. It's entertainment. I mean, they put themselves as entertainment, you know, friendly, you know, entertainment. And I think that's what's getting the pass. I think that's how the woman had, you know, had clarified it. It's just, you know, this is a family friendly event. And if that's the case, you know, whether people walk into it thinking there isn't any exposure of any kind and then later like, oh, shit. But I think that could be partial where it stands. Like, it, you know, you think it's just entertainment, this dancing, you know, whether it's, you know, comedic. And, you know, you think, oh, okay, this is something cool. Let's take our family. This is fun. Let's try something. Let's do a new experience. And then
And
you know, then,
if it was left there, it wouldn't be a big deal. But when you have the quote-unquote drag queens wearing mini skirts with no underwear, and they have their legs all the way out to make sure that while they're reading a book or they're sitting there that their junk is extremely visible. Now, on the other end, if there were people that wanted to promote nudism and stuff and how nude is not lewd and things like that, I don't have a problem with that. But the thing is that when you are presenting it in a sexual manner, then that changes it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
so
isn't
if a drag queen wanted to show that they wanted rights and they read stories and did not ask to have five-year-olds sit on their lap or have a six-year-old dance naked in front of them and they put dollars in their butts, if it was just good-natured, hey, I'm going to be a dude in a dress and read a book, it would be more comedic and I know that comedy isn't what they're looking for, but it would be more good-natured, and people would not have a problem with that. Instead, they go all out to make sure that they're as offensive as possible. This way, there's a conversation about it, and then you're looked at as the aggressor because you say, I don't want my kids looking at a grown man in a dress's junk. Well, what's wrong
yeah.
with a woman showing their junk? They will say that.
Well, yeah. Then you kind of have to switch it too. You know, I mean, obviously that's it's offensive. You know, and obscene. You know, you have to kind of picture the fact. How would this look? Like maybe that's how it needs to be brought up to people. You know, so should we have a Chippendale show? And have the Chippendales, you know, all be seated in a row and giving story time, like, with parents like that? I mean, sure, yeah, I'm sure the ladies would be like, yeah, hot pod. But would you want to bring your kids to that? Like, let's go to the Chippendales while they're grinding to the floor? I mean, it's almost kind of, it's not exactly the same concept, but, I mean, it's kind of in the same.
Well, we know
you follow?
99% of what happens at drag queen story time. And I'm not saying 100% of the drag queen story times are like that. But it's no secret that most of them are.
Right. Right. You know, or you have a stripper, you know, just a regular stripper, you know, in her stripper uniform. I mean,
yeah,
who's going to be like, yeah, come on, kitty, let's go watch the strippers. Yeah, well, maybe dad would, but you know what I mean. It's just, it's kind of like, yeah. But I guess on the bottom line, I mean, it's a lot different that if you seek it out, like I was mentioning my friend who takes her kids to, you know, all the private, you know, the pride events and stuff like that, you know, go on in town, you know, but again, she made that choice. She made the choice to take her kids to see this versus parents that have no say-so. And that, you know, that's where it gets to be a little, you know, again, you know, how are parents being excluded to this? Which goes back to the parents that can't opt on certain materials that are being discussed in school. And they're not even going to tell you. It's like, no, you're not even going to get a right to not to object to it. You also don't even need to know now what we plan to.
Oh, and they also have in some schools where they will transition the kids and they tell you you're not allowed to tell your parents.
Yeah.
Anytime tells a kid, tell your parents about this, they always need to tell their parents. Right. If somebody ever says it's not what you think it is, it's always what you think it is.
Well, that's, you know, and the crazy thing is just like when you talk about like certain things that you have to, tell your kids, but if they're doing it at such a sensitive age, you know, I mean, you know, they always say this, and someone says, you know, this is a secret, you know, when we talk about, child molestation and stuff like that. It's like, no, a secret. No, you can never keep a secret. Like, secret is bad. Secrets are bad, you know. I don't know. That just puts me, you know, I count my blessings that my son is just not young.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just thankful that my kids are grown, and if I had to have them in the fourth grade right now or something, I don't know if I can live through that again, and this time have it be worse.
But the crazy thing is, you know, my son is 20, you know, I mean, there's possibilities,
No.
I'm sorry.
I take that back. My kids are 21 and 19.
Okay, so we're in the same. But I mean, okay, we may be thankful that our children are not in it. But what's to say 4 years from now, and you know, your children or my sons, you know, may not be completely aware. I mean, maybe you probably share it with your children, but you know, then my son thinks, oh yeah, I got to put him in school at four, and then this is going on, and then it'll be more mainstream. It'll be everywhere. You know, it's not these little isolated pockets of certain counties. It's just like, boof, it's everywhere. You put them in, you know, public schooling. Are Catholic schools a little bit more on the, no, that's not happening? I mean, who's saying? You know, it could be everywhere. Can't imagine nuns doing that, you know, at a parochial school, but... you also didn't see this coming either. Well, I certainly didn't see it coming. So you just never know. But that's
what did you
know,
see
really
coming?
Definitely. Well, no, I mean just all this material. You know, be exposed to small children and just those types of things happening, you know. I mean, I remember when my son was younger and, you know, he got a note from school. I don't even remember how old he was. I'm sure he was in middle school or something like that. And they, you know, it was something as, you know, hey, we're going to bring out the condom, you know, at school. So, I mean, that goes on and they have to tell you what a condom does. And like I said, different than, like, health education back in my day. I only saw it in high school. So, I mean, they keep getting them younger and younger. But, you know, as far as that goes, that whole sexuality, it's always they say, well, we have to get them younger because they're having children at a younger age. So,
I don't know about
that. It just has to start at home. I mean, you have to educate your children at home. Of course, unfortunately, some children don't have that advantage. But.
Well, I'm not going to say kids are having kids at a younger age. I'm not believing that at this point. I'm not willing to justify what the left wants us to accept.
Yeah.
Actually, I hear less of it. Kids don't want to date as much as they used to. Whether it's video games or doing other stuff, I guess maybe I'm not a good example, but I did not go on a date ever until I was, 20? But...
Oh, that's...
But I don't think kids, when they're 9, go dating. What money are they going to have? Who's buying who dinner?
Yeah, that is very true. But then I speak to, you know, like a lot of kids are like my nieces, and they're like their friends. And then they don't even want children. Like, it's already, like, decided at such a young age. Like, no, I don't need, you know, like 15, 17, I don't want kids. For whatever reason, but there just seems to be that out there.
Well, some of it's about global warming, and they feel, and they have that guilt attributed to, if I have kids, I'm selfish. Because a lot of kids learn about vegetarianism when they're in like the sixth or seventh grade, because they've learned that meat is terrible. Instead of letting people figure it out for themselves, they push an agenda at all times.
Yeah, I get a lot of people who want to change their diet, and they're just X out meat entirely. But no, meat is bad. Meat is bad. Fat is bad. But
yeah, but look at how many vegans eat Doritos, and they drink their GMO sodas.
Right,
but
exactly.
They're vegan and they're liberal.
Well, that goes back to, you know, that I was telling you. I really should go on YouTube and see who the gentleman's name is. But, you know, he was the cardiologist that I was speaking about earlier, and he was just saying, like, wait a minute, you would think vegans just technically, like, you know, when you basis being meat is the culprit that's affecting all these people. But in general, it's not. You know, vegans eat like crap. I mean, we all eat like crap, and, you know, portion of people. I mean, it's hard to be clean, and it takes a lot to get there. But I mean, so why do they, you know, what makes them think that their health is so much better? Vegan. Ooh, I don't eat this and eat that, and you know, they have health issues. This is it, just like regular people or regular meat eaters, I should say.
See, and you haven't seen my diet ever since I was in the hospital, but I limit myself to 25 net carbs a day. And I eat a lot of meat and vegetables now, with some fruits, of course, that are not carb-heavy. Like, I'll eat there's a couple of yogurt companies, like Chobani, for example, that would do zero-sugar yogurt. So my breakfast might be a grapefruit and a yogurt with like one or two net carbs. And then at lunch, okay, I'm having a turkey and cheese wrap with spinach on a tortilla that has, it's a burrito-sized tortilla with a two net carb tortilla. So I'll have a wrap. And I, between two meals, I'll have what, five carbs maybe?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't eat very many carbs. I think the only times is if I'm like, I have like two loaves of bread. I think I bought the Eco, what's the one that begins with the name?
Ezekiel?
I can't, yeah, Ezekiel. Like muffins, because the muffins. Or is it biscuits? I don't know. One or the other. And then I have, you know, another loaf of bread. It's been sitting in my fridge like forever. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to heat this for in the morning. And never get around to it. I just, carbs is like, eh. Unless I want some, like, chips, I'll eat some Siete chips or something like that. Or I'm trying to think what else do I eat that's, like, carb-related. You know, and sometimes, I don't even think my son eats it anymore. I mean, he was like a mac and cheese every day in your face, like, you know, morning, lunch, and dinner. Like, I gotta have my mac and cheese. And I'll be making my pasta, I believe it's, I'm not sure of the name, I've only bought it a couple times, pasta. It's not wheat, it's made out of, I believe it's rice flour.
Okay.
But anyway, so I'll buy that every once in a while, like different type of noodles or whatever, you know, mix it up. He really doesn't care, he doesn't really even care for it.
Mm.
So, yeah, we pretty much, very rare to bring in the carbs. But yeah, I like, you know, like I said, my chips and.
I'm not against them. It's just like, that for my healing, I can't eat them. That's all.
Well,
if
I
get my blood sugar normal and I'm healthy again and I don't have to wear a wrap on my foot, then I might look at some carbs. But for now, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, indulge. But I'm a sucker, though. Like, I think he brought, like, some goldfish and some other, like, cheat, you know, those Nibs, like, crackers. And I'm like, oh, did you really? I'm like, I'll just have two or three. But it's freaking addicting. I can't stop at, like, a couple. I'm like, throw the fucking box away because I'm going to eat this whole damn thing.
See, what I did for a long time was I thought I was being healthy, where I could drink 32 ounces of organic cranberry juice. And then on my radio show here, if I'm going to eat, I try to find stuff that I can't, that you don't hear me eating. Like, I might have 8 or 10 dates and a 32 ounce of cranberry juice, and I think, well, that's not that bad. But each date might have 15 to 18 sugars, and so if I'm having 10, that's 150 of sugars plus. Each 8 ounce glass of cranberry juice is 30 grams of carbs. So I just downed 300 grams of sugar thinking I'm doing okay.
Right, exactly.
So I can't do that anymore. Even if I am healthy, it's like you, I have to know my, I have to know what's in it. And I tend to eat okay. I do a lot of organic, and I don't do GMO. But the thing is, like I was getting at earlier with the turkey wrap and the yogurt, there are people that will say, well, I'm vegan, and they'll have their Doritos and a cup of coffee with a ton of sugar in it. And that's not helping them. Just because you did not eat meat does not mean you're eating healthy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we substitute something for another. But yeah, and there was an individual that I spoke to today too, and like I said, he was getting up there on the scale, you know, and his doctor, which I wanted to talk to him more about this, but his doctor told him to stop eating meat. Like, meat was the, you know, meat. You stop eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so, he's like, I haven't eaten meat, like, in, I don't know, 3-4 months. He's like, and then I stopped dairy. I stopped eating dairy, too. And I was like, well, okay. I was like, yeah, I lost the weight. And, you know, I was trying to tell him, I'm like, well, have you ever thought about grass-fed? You know, like, you know, why, you know. But people always are like, I don't even know what's grass-fed.
Yeah, I know.
No, I was told, you know, then it's like, ugh. I'm like, do I want to share? But I do, because, I mean, I want people to, you know, I feel bad when I, like, hear people like, I don't want to eat meat, you know, because of health reasons or because, you know, they're trying to lose weight and they think the way to do it is, you know, to take out meat, or meat is just so disgusting.
Well,
yeah,
the worst thing is the GMO, and then after that, it's the sugar.
Yeah. Well, and the dairy. Or then they'll start doing skim milk. I'm like, you might as well just take, you know. But, I mean, it's all education. I mean, a lot of people don't know that. You know, like skim milk, you're basically just drinking water with a little bit of milk, and they just toss it in, and then a bunch of other crap that's literally in there for, like, I wouldn't even say for taste, because if you ever taste skim milk, it's pretty bland. But
yeah, I'm not a skim milk person. I do almond milk.
Yeah.
I actually like oat milk.
I've never tried oat milk. You said oat, right?
Oat, yes.
Yeah, I've never tried that. I had the almond, I guess maybe just to drink a little bit or something, but I don't think you can. Can you do almonds in, like, I was going to say cornflakes. That's embarrassing. I don't know, like cereal. Does it have Same spinner?
You could do it with cereal. But I've done it with mashed potatoes, the unsweetened. There's unsweetened, there's vanilla, there's chocolate, there's other flavors, but the unsweetened is just milk.
Right. Yeah, I haven't. I'm not big on milk.
Yeah, I had some cereal lately, so I wanted to see if it would spike up my blood sugar, and it didn't. So I did that just to see. Go ahead.
No, my son's a big cereal, you know, milk. I mean, like he could just probably eat that all day, you know. But he definitely
even
likes
as
to have
a
that
kid,
for breakfast.
I never liked Captain Crunch. That's like my all-time most hated cereal.
Oh my god, that was my favorite. I think if I ate it today, I'd probably go into like a sugar coma. But I mean, that's got that's loaded.
Captain Crunch, as well as what is it?
Cornflakes.
Like, Oreos. That's it. They have an aftertaste that is very distinctful, and I can't do it.
Yeah, Captain Crunch does have. I mean, I like it obviously for like the crunch, but yeah, it always does leave a real like ick in your mouth. Cornflakes does. I don't think cornflakes does it. But
as a kid, I used to like the cereal Basic Four.
Which one?
Basic Four.
I'm not even sure what that is.
I've always been more into granola stuff than I am, like, the sugary stuff. I always liked having the granola and the raisins and anything else you want to throw in there. I just never really liked flakes. And maybe another reason I didn't like Captain Crunch, and I know there was Crunch Berries, and that didn't help, but I like when there are multiple things in the cereal. Like Frosted Flakes wouldn't do anything for me, but if there was a variety of stuff inside the cereal, then I could do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mine was like cornflakes. Well, cornflakes is tricky because, you know, you don't want it to stop. So you got to eat that pretty fast. But Rice Krispies was a good one that I could eat bowl after bowl after bowl.
But I've always been that way with chocolate also. Even before the woke stuff, maybe decades ago, I never liked just plain Hershey chocolate bars. I would eat like Baby Ruth or Butterfingers because they have stuff inside it. But just having like Nestle Crunch, that doesn't do anything for me either. It has to have stuff inside it or have some kind of variety for me to be interested.
I feel you.
Like, I got some dark chocolate bars because they have no or minimal carbs. And then with the net carbs, you have other factors. And I chase it with pistachios or cashews or something just because I don't want the taste of just plain. Even if it's dark chocolate, it's just plain. It has to have stuff in it.
Yeah, do you ever do Lily's? I like the Hue chocolate.
That's what I'm talking about right now, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Those are good. I don't like the plain ones either. There's a store that I go to when I'm at the mall, which I hate doing that because they're freaking pricey at like the, what is it, Lollipop?
Yeah, they're normally like $4 each. I saw them 2 for $6 this weekend, so I got a few.
Yeah, if you go to like Whole Foods, did you get them at Whole Foods? Or?
No, I got them at a grocery store in Utah. They don't have Whole Paycheck out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I usually get them if they're like on sale, if I see them on Whole Foods for that price. But this freaking store it's in the mall, they're like $10. I'm like crazy. They used to get like the cashews or the hazelnut, And then one day I went up to the register, and it's been over like a month. They don't sell like the hazel or whatever. Just haven't brought them in. But they had tons of them, and they were expired. So the lady was like, I can't sell this to you. And I was so upset. But then I was told, they're like, hey, how about we do this? How about you just leave it at the counter and you don't sell it to me? I'll take the risk that it's expired. And she's like, okay. I wish I had more. I had like two of them or something in my hand.
Yeah.
Like, and then I was like, can I go back and get, and she's like, yeah, I have to go back there and like throw those all out. I'm like, I was disgusted that she had to do that. I'm like, you can't just give them to me. Like, I would love to take them off your hands. But she was like, no, I can't. And I'm like, I can only just give you those. And, and you know, she was all hush hush.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. But, yeah, she didn't sell it to me because she said it was expired. I'm like, well, you sold it to me expired the other day. You should have said, hey, I'll buy the plain one. Can I get that one for free? But anyway. But no, the plain ones are kind of like, eh, the hazelnut and the cashew. Do you have a favorite?
Not yet.
No. Yeah. Sometimes I have to figure it out, but it's
a long
time. I have a
blood orange before. Dark chocolate sitting in my fridge I haven't opened yet.
Hmm. Yeah, one day I'll get like a variety, and then I'll just try to take a piece of each one so I can tell. Because if I don't eat it for like a really long time, it's like, I don't remember which one I had. Yeah. But the plain just dark chocolate is kind of bleh. So I don't
see,
so I don't get them anymore.
Well, even their milk chocolate one, that's how I felt in the same manner. So I just don't, unless I can eat it with something.
Mm.
That's just like bagels, too. I can't eat just a plain bagel. It has to have something worthwhile. If it's pumpernickel, that's different. That's like my favorite bread. But just a plain bagel at the store with plain cream cheese, I don't know how people can do that. All those different varieties of bagels, and it's like, I'm going to have a plain bagel with plain cream cheese.
Yeah, I bought a different couple of cream cheeses by Kite Hill. And
okay.
I would have thought they would have lasted a little longer. They went that fast. They got really icky. Like, I don't know. I always swear they were only in the fridge for like 2 weeks. Maybe they were bad or something. I wouldn't think. Wouldn't cream cheese last a while? Whether it's open or... I don't even think the other one was open. And then I opened it and it was really gross.
I know yogurts can last a while, but I don't know about cream cheese. I don't buy it often enough to remember.
Yeah, I don't get it that much. I get it now and then, but like I said, it's kind of hard. Depends where I'm at. And then I'm like, today is like a dairy day, and then I buy a lot of dairy, which I've come to realize can't buy too much because I don't consume it all that much, you know. I've done that sometimes, too. Like, you know, you go somewhere and my grass-fed cheese is, like, super on sale. And I'm like, okay, we're getting the mozzarella, we're getting the cheddar. I'm like, that's a lot of cheese. You know, I have to stick to, like, we're buying one today and it's just going to have to roll with it for I get another one. I don't.
Yeah, something else about me. If I eat a meal today, I can't eat the same thing the next day also, unless it's fruit. Fruit's different. I could eat a grapefruit every day almost, but then I get bored. But I can't have the same meal 2 days in a row.
Yeah. You must be like my son. My son, like, he can't eat leftovers. Yeah.
Oh, I love leftovers. But... Don't get me wrong. It's just that we'll just say a pizza. If I ate a half a pizza today, I won't eat the other half today. It's like I need something new. But I could eat it 2 or 3 days later.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, that's probably why I'm at right now. It's probably why I'm like, food is just like, oh, my God, Rich, you need, like, more variety in your eating repertoire because it's the, yeah. You can only eat so much steak and hamburger, you know, or ground beef, I guess. But which I
no,
guess
I'm learning
salmon.
That now.
Yeah, so I have some salmon, and I was mad last time because I ate it like, I don't know, I swear I was eating salmon like every day, and then I was like, oh my God, I don't have any. I'm going to have to buy like two, you know, like double. Well, I have a whole pack of like frozen salmon in there, and I have yet, and it's been in there for like 2 weeks or something, and I have yet to make one. So tomorrow looks like a salmon day because I'm trying to eat those babies. But yeah, and eggs. I haven't eaten eggs in a while. I keep going to a certain store and they don't have my eggs, so I'm getting. I like my pasture-raised and I ain't settling.
All right, well, we just got the 90-second buzzer, so we have to start making our way out of here.
Sounds good.
No, we did it again.
Same time next week.
Yeah, but everybody else can listen to me tomorrow because I'll be here at the same time tomorrow. My show is every Monday through Thursday. So please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative. I am Ooze.